Super Talk Mississippi Media Production. You're listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi, covering Mississippi State sports like nobody else. With Sports Talk Mississippi's Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk of On3 Sports. Now get ready for Thunder and Lightning.
This is Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi. Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk here with you on a Tuesday morning. Thanks for joining us at supertalk.fm or wherever it is that you get podcasts from. Appreciate you guys out there, our great listeners, especially our servicemen and women out there taking care of us. We want to thank our sponsors over at Strange Brew Coffeehouse and Churn and Spoon Ice Cream. Start your day the right way with a trip on a trip through the drive-thru over at Strange Brew Coffeehouse here in Starkville or at Brupolo over in Tupelo. It'd be a little weird, Robbie, if Brupolo was in Kewaunee.
That would be a little weird.
Wherever you are in our great state, you can enjoy Strange Brew Coffee each and every morning. That's just a click away at strangebrewcoffeehouse.com. The Mississippi Beef Council wants to remind you that beef, it is what's for dinner. If you're cooking out this weekend, nothing beats the sizzle of beef on the grill. A couple weekends to cook, and then we have Christmas. We got a lot of time for beef. Of course, as we say all the time on this show, beef is what's for Christmas. It's time to start thinking about those big roasts, big prime ribs, the beef tenderloin. What are you going to cook on Christmas Day? Go ahead and start making your plans now. Talk to your butchers. Talk to your meat market guys. Don't be doing that last-minute shopping, trying to get that prime rib when they've already been all bought up. Get ahead of the game now. Saw today that the Mississippi Beef Council tweeted out there. If you're cooking a prime rib, here's how big is it? How long do you need to cook it? How long should it rest? Good information there at the Mississippi Beef Council Facebook page. Beef, it's what's for dinner. Thanks to our friends at the Mississippi Beef Council. College Corner, collegecornerstore.com is the place to find the maroon and white merchandise that you are looking for. It's probably your last week that you can buy from College Corner and make sure that it gets shipped to you in time for Christmas. So buy now at collegecornerstore.com or check out either of their two locations in the Jackson area. Originally by Fleet Feet, followed by the Half Shell. Everything you're looking for maroon and white, they've got it at College Corner. Priority One Bank, 16 locations here to serve you throughout Central Mississippi. Let PriorityOneBank.com be your guide and show you not only how they're going to help you invest and manage your money, but how they're going to help you prepare for the future. Now more than ever, when you have questions about your money, you need answers, and you talk to the people at Priority One Bank, a bank that's going to know you by name, not by your account number. If you want a great level of service, you get it at Priority One Bank. Let Priority One Bank make you their priority. I was in the produce section today at the grocery store, and this woman, she like gives me a look, and she goes, "I bet if you talked, I'd know your voice." I was like, "You might. You might." And so she said she and her husband listen to us every day. So we appreciate y'all. I had two.
So how did she know? She just went up to a random person and was like, I think
she recognized me. But at the same time, she was like, you know, I've had the last two trips to Kroger. Two different women have been like, "Hey." So, you know, our female listenership is going up.
Oh, I bet that made you. I bet your head is this big now. And I mean, a woman came up and said, I listen to you sometimes.
Well, I mean, you know, she listens to you too. You just weren't there to, you know, get the notice.
That's, yeah.
You know,
most of the time, whenever women tell me about their experience listening to me, it's like in disgust. I was riding down the road. We were on a 5-hour road trip, and we had to listen to every single one of y'all's episodes on the way. Thank you. Thank you for doing that. I appreciate that.
Yeah, like I usually wake up in the morning, and you're like, you're the first words, you're the first voice I hear, so I hate you. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
But these people were very nice. The people I got were very nice about it. So.
Well, good. I'm glad you had that experience. Mine's usually the opposite.
You need to come shopping with me sometime, and we'll get some positive experiences.
We'll probably be in there with Paul Jones. We might have half the MSU beat in there.
Literally. We could have us all in there. So
Paul Jones has a cot in the back. I think you have a spare room in behind the butchers.
I have a house on the property.
Yeah.
All right. Later in today's show, we're going to replay the interview from last week I did with Kendall Rogers of D1 Baseball. Very high on the Bulldogs and their chances for this upcoming season, which has now, I believe, as we record here, we are 58 days away from the start of the baseball season. But we got to talk about that most important thing in college football right now, the transfer portal. Mississippi State continuing to see players going in. We won't see players coming to Mississippi State for another few weeks, right? The transfer portal technically not open yet. So these players are just announcing their intention to enter the transfer portal when the time comes. So if you're like, man, all these players are going in, but nobody's coming to Mississippi State, it's not time for that yet. We'll get there in January. The portal actually opens on January 2nd, the day Mississippi State plays Wake Forest in the Duke's Mayo Bowl. So we've got this list, and if you're trying to keep up, the easiest way to do it is Robbie Falk has a ticker, basically, right on the front page of Maroon and White Daily on three, and you can see every player that's in. And Robbie, I got to be honest with you, I hate to sound cruel, but there's a lot of dead weight in this list. Guys that weren't going to play, and you can probably improve upon pretty easily in the portal. So we'll just go through the list. We'll just read them off here. First off, first name on the list. There's no way you can convince me Jordan Mosley has more eligibility. There's no way.
It's going to have to be like a situation like we've talked about with Brennan Thompson, where they're trying to get him another year with like the whole deal, where it's like the percentage of plays that he played in or whatever. It would have to be that. I mean, I think he redshirted his first year at Northwestern, then he transferred to State, I believe, or did he? Let me
No, he
look up
transferred
the
from
number.
Northwestern to State. You're right.
After 1 year?
I believe that's correct.
Okay. So there was 1 year, his first year at Mississippi State, I think he only played in like four games.
So he redshirted.
No, he had already redshirted.
He already redshirted. Okay.
Yeah. So his first year was 2021, redshirted after three games, transferred to Mississippi State, and he played in three games. Again. And then the last 3 years, he's played a full season. So that's three full seasons. He played 3 years as a redshirt freshman. By rule, that
He's
you
out.
don't get a year.
He should not have another year.
He shouldn't. Even if they go to the 5 year, like hard 5 year thing, he
He would be
won't. I mean,
out,
he's already
yeah.
played 5 years.
Exactly.
Brennan Thompson, I guess with this 5 year deal, you could make an argument for him because he's only played 4 years. He
Right.
didn't redshirt. But once you redshirt,
It's you're out. I
so
can't
I don't
get
know.
behind it. All right.
So I don't know what's going to happen. People get eligible and we sit there and go, why?
Yeah.
Every single day.
No, you're
You
right.
got Max Johnson and his brother back in the portal trying to find another. Like, guys, when you're at this point of your career, it might be time to let's just move on. Let's find a. I mean, I'm sure you could probably get into coaching. You might even be able to go play somewhere. I don't know. But when you play 7 years of college football, like that's too much.
Especially
Six years is too
if
much.
you're not great. Like
Yeah.
Pavia
And I
wanting to
get it.
stick
Like
around, I get it.
Max Johnson's been hurt most of his career. I totally get it. But it almost feels like a lot of these guys, like they're just wanting to continue to collect checks, like NIL checks, because they're not going to get it beyond that. And that might not be the case. He may just be for the love of the game. That could be it. But when you get to 6 years and 7 years, like we have got to draw the line at some point and say, all right, that's enough college. I paid to be in college for 7 years because I was just an idiot. I wasn't playing sports. Nobody was paying for me to go to school. Like if you're in college, you're getting paid by people and your scholarship's paid for, like it's time to process out. It's time to move on to the next stage of life. I don't want to be
Agree.
cruel, but you're 23, 24 years old. Like it's
It is
let's
what it
move on.
is. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. So Jordan Mosley. That's where we were. All right. Stonka Burnside is a guy, Mississippi State. I think if he committed to the idea of playing defense, State would like to go get him back. But if he's just dead set on being a receiver, time to move on. Can't continue. Doesn't have that. Wide receiver Cam Thompson, wide receiver Anson Lewis, defensive lineman Terrence Hibbler. That's a guy that Paul Jones had to just basically say, hey, I missed on this one. That was a guy that, think about a few years ago, there were some people who tried to play this narrative of like all these Mississippi defensive linemen are overrated. But then you see Cam Franklin and William Echols having great success at Ole Miss, but the one that State got, Hibbler, not so much. So he's in the portal. Jaquan Bolden, who never played, I don't believe, for Mississippi State. but
They
he's in the
didn't.
portal now.
They didn't play at Purdue either, I don't think.
Correct. Wide receiver Jerron Glover. So that's four, three receivers in the portal. So, again, I love Bumpus, but some of these evaluations last year were not great. And there's a couple more receivers to come. So defensive lineman Corey Clark, that's a guy who never should have been offered a scholarship to play football at Mississippi State. Simple as that.
No, that
Not
was
an
always a
SEC player.
threat. Always a threat.
Offensive lineman Alex Lopez, I don't even know who that is. I mean, I cover this team. I don't know who that is. When you say Alex Lopez, I apologize because I keep bringing this up with this kid, but I always
Well,
think that it
you
was
know,
Alex
last year.
Gomez. Was that his name? The kid who said was
Oh,
going to.
God.
Remember who I'm talking about?
Yeah. So I almost didn't put like Alex Lopez and Marlon Hawk on here because they're technically like walk-on players, but there's not really walk-ons anymore. So
And Hawk at
I
least
have to
played
put
in
them.
games.
Yeah, he did. He was a holder most of the time. I think he did kick off a couple of times.
All right. Offensive lineman Brennan Smith, who transferred in last year but didn't play. Tony Mitchell. Now we've finally gotten to one that I would like to see back in maroon and white next year. And if Mississippi State is going to make a push to get him back in the roster, I would think that's a good idea. I think he's talented, but out right now. Wide receiver Marcus Allen, another guy who just he didn't play. Joseph Head, defensive end. That's a guy that there was some hope that he could be a good player, but it hasn't panned out. Holmes County, man.
Yeah, not a high track record right now.
Not
It's not going
great.
well.
Not great. And as I mentioned the kid earlier, Hibbler. He's from Holmes County as well. Linebacker Fat Forrest, who you may remember from when he was signed as Fat Clark. Tight end Max Reese. Wide receiver Frazell Shepherd, another wide receiver. And then today we learned that offensive lineman Jimothy Lewis, a guy who started some games for Mississippi State this year, is entering the portal. Jimothy is the second one that I would like to see. I wish he could make a comeback. I think there's talent there, but they have not been able to unlock that yet. But on this offensive line, I mean, they're really going to go back into the portal to try to find three or four more starters. I just don't know, man. I just don't know how that's going to work.
Jimothy was really bad this year.
He was bad.
I and
No
I'm
getting
not
around
saying
that.
he can't get better. I think he can get better, but he didn't get better as the year went on,
No.
is the problem. Like you kept waiting for it to like, well, he's going through his lumps. Like he got worse pretty much. And you know, I'd been hearing all year, I reported it preseason when everybody was freaking out about him not being on the depth chart. Guys, he's not ready yet. He's struggling to get the plays down. He's missing assignments regularly. Like he's really struggling right now. He is not ready. People were labeling him the next big thing. Why is he not starting? People were getting angry about it, and then we saw it on the field. And you can't hide that. You can't hide the film. That's where it is. And again, in fairness, this is a redshirt freshman, but when he was a true freshman, kept hearing about him a lot, but Luke Work was the only guy getting on the field. Like I think he got on the field late in the year and he gave a couple of good reps or whatever, but it just was not coming together for him. And the coaching doesn't help, obviously. Mississippi State has not been well coached on the offensive line this year. And, you know, maybe that's going to take some time. I don't know, but Loadholt's got a lot of work to do in the portal and coaching these guys up to make this better because that was. To me, that was the worst group of the entire team. I don't know if there was a worse group for
Yeah,
them
you're right. You're correct.
because at least like a cornerback, you had an elite
Yeah.
cornerback you can point to. At safety, you had some good pieces there. Brylon Lanier had a good season, I think.
Agreed.
You know, Tony Mitchell, like those guys had good seasons. The offensive line was just bad the whole year. They were bad at it. They were bad in the interior. They were bad at the tackle positions. If Albert Reese wasn't in there, it was a complete disaster. They couldn't protect the quarterback. They couldn't block to open up lanes for the running game. So it's not a Jimothy Lewis problem. It's a Mississippi State offensive line problem. And you would like to keep a guy like that because, as you said, he does have talent. You know, you don't want to lose a guy like that you could develop. And, you know, if things come together, that could be a really good player. But as it stands, I mean, just simply on what we've seen, I mean, it is what it is. But another thing too, looking at these wide receivers, and we kind of voiced our concerns about this wide receiver group last year when the portal open and these are the guys they were getting.
Yeah.
It was very concerning at the time that, you know, Brennan Thompson, I really liked his upside, and we really liked Anthony Evans. We were talking about him, but neither one of those guys had had huge numbers, but we felt like they could do well in this system.
Right.
The other guys had made no sense, like Cam Thompson, Jahron Glover,
You
Marcus
knew
Allen.
from the minute State signed them, they were not going to be contributors.
We knew that.
Yeah.
We talked about maybe there's something they can get, but neither one of us, I don't think, hyped any of them up or acted like they were going to be anything special. And then you look at this, out of that entire group that's leaving, including Ferzell Shepard, who wasn't going to play this year anyway, but out of the entire group that's leaving at wide receiver, taking out Jordan Mosley, I think they had a combined one catch.
My biggest memory of the Jahron Glover era at Mississippi State was Shapen overthrowing him in the Florida game when he was open in the back of the end zone. And
Marcus Allen had a catch for 7 yards, and that is the only catch that Marcus Allen, Jahron Glover, Cam Thompson had the entire year.
Glover
And then you
being
add in Max Reese. Max Reese had 2 catches for 1 yard. So three combined catches from that group for 8 yards. Three
so.
catches for 8 yards for four players.
So obviously State's getting a new wide receiver coach in. So maybe that fixes some of the evaluation problems. But when you see numbers like that, it doesn't give me the warm and fuzzies that they're just going to have this tremendous transfer portal class that allows State to be an 8 or 9 win team next season.
Well, I mean, if you're talking about the wide receivers, like the bulk of this work goes to two guys, pretty much. I mean, Anthony Evans had 63 catches. Brennan Thompson had 53. Next on the list was Aiden Williams with 19. And then nobody else had double-digit catches. So you're looking at essentially three guys eating up almost everything. So if you can get You really just need to get two legit receivers every year. Like if you have two guys that are just studs and you can fill that in with guys that can come in and just give you good reps, I think you're fine. So I trust Mississippi State will get a top-end transfer wide receiver, one or two of them. I trust that because that's happened the last 2 years. They got Kevin Coleman, and then they came in last year and they got Anthony Evans and Brennan Thompson.
And so
And
is
I like
Juwan. Akari, when they signed him, was a top tier
Akari too,
transfer.
yeah. Akari, had he been healthy, I think he would have had a much better season.
Yeah.
So I think we can expect Mississippi State to have two really good receivers out of the portal, and we'll see whatever happens from there. But that's been what's happened the last 2 years. They've gotten two legit receivers each season, and then everybody else was just kind of just guys,
Yeah.
which you know. Whatever. As long as you have the production, whatever.
Yeah,
We'll
I'm
see what
not
happens.
expecting to have, the 20, what is it, 2018 Alabama receiving core with, Judy and Ruggs and Devontae Smith and Jalen Waddle. I don't need that. Just need a couple guys. I agree with that. So, and then one name that's not in here yet is Luke Crumlin Hawk. And I have to think he will go into the portal because he's got to know that it's going to be Camario's team now, which means State needs to go out once again and try to find. We've talked about this before, Robbie. They need to find a Trinidad Chambliss type player, a veteran guy who's happy to come in as the backup, but if something goes wrong, you can put him out there. Spencer Sanders might be a better example for that because Trinidad Chambliss ended up having to play. Spencer Sanders never did. What's the holdup with Crumlin Hawk, though? Are you surprised he's not already in the portal?
What I would imagine is you need him for the bowl game. You don't have Blake
Yeah, that's
Shapen,
true.
and
They
you're
probably put a little
probably,
extra money on that.
yeah, you need to have him there just in case. And so, because I imagine, I would say everybody that's on this list is probably not going to take part in the bowl game, wouldn't
Yeah, I would imagine so. Correct.
you? That's just my thought, is that's probably what's going to happen. Bo Wallace, the new offensive coordinator at Southwest Community College. Okay.
Good luck.
Is he going to continue to get on Twitter and do that whole
We'll
song
see.
and dance as a junior
Well, I mean,
college offensive coordinator?
Kiffin does stuff like that, and look at him.
Yes,
So,
sir.
by
I
the
mean,
way,
at some point we've
have
got
you
we're gonna have to move on from
read
trolling
this
the other
article?
fan base.
You read this article that came out today? I think Joe Rexroad is the lead author on it, but he had some contributors to it. Have you read it though about Kiffin and like getting opinions from people from Oxford about how they feel about all this? Have you read it?
No, I've not.
You should read it. It's incredible how snowed under those people were. Like
They
they
did
just
the
didn't
same
know what
thing with
kind of person you were.
Freeze. They did the
Yeah.
same thing with Freeze.
They had no idea what kind of person they were dealing with. They are all like, I thought he was my friend, and like, nah.
Like, it's so delusional. Like, and they're doing the same thing again now. Like,
They're gonna do it again with Golding, yeah.
if
They're gonna.
something happened, like, we're talking about, like, I love how Pete Golding doesn't tweet. This is great. We've been missing this. No, you all ate that up when Lane
You guys
Kiffin did it.
loved it when Kiffin
No
tweeted.
matter who the
Wait.
coach is, you're going to lap up whatever he does. You're going to
Yeah.
think it's the greatest thing ever. And then when the time comes where he's bad or he leaves or whatever, he's the biggest trash human you've ever met.
It's a
That's
good
what's
article
coming.
though. You should check it out. But it is kind of like how did y'all not see through this guy? I don't understand. People want to say that like when I say stuff like that, oh, you're just saying that because you're no. Like if Lane Kiffin had been the head coach anywhere, I would have been like, this guy is not a legit
And
person.
here's the thing, like we've talked about Mississippi State coaches in that way. Like
Yeah.
we don't like how the coach is handling himself in the press conference. We don't like how he's doing this on the
We talked about
sidelines.
Lamonas all the time, guy who had a national title, but we talked about like, why does he do this with the schedule and why does he do this with the roster? It doesn't make any sense.
Zach
This is not
Arnett. We did the
Arnett,
same thing
yeah.
with Zach Arnett. We did the same thing with Mike Leach.
Yeah, so.
Like this is it's a it's like you're under a spell when you're in that realm
Yeah.
at Ole Miss, like until that person leaves, and then they all come out and say, "This is how we felt all along." No, that's not what you did. You did the
It's
same
yeah.
thing with Hugh Freeze. We were all homers and idiots for saying Hugh Freeze was fake and he wasn't what he said he was, and he was sleazy and he was doing all these things behind the scenes. And then, boom, look what we found out.
It's unreal.
So,
So, all right, let's just a
listen
little
to us. We will tell you the truth. One way or the other, we will tell you the truth.
we may be wrong, but we're not lying.
That's
Simple as
true.
that. Like there are times where we make predictions and stuff, and like we're just wrong, you know? But it's not because I'm lying. I'm not trying to do it. I'm not up here, you know, trying to play a character like Skip Bayless or something. I'm just wrong. If I could get them all right, guys, I would be living somewhere else. Wouldn't be cold where I'm living. I promise you that.
Yeah, we don't mind saying we're wrong. I
Yeah.
was wrong on LaDainian Washington,
There you go.
but
It
which
happened.
I think we're going to talk about here shortly.
Well, let's go ahead and let's just jump into that because we'll do baseball in the second half of the show. Mississippi State, I we'll never know what happened, but it appeared like it was trending like LaDainian Washington was going to be the new wide receiver coach at Mississippi State. But then, as you mentioned, Pete Golding tweets the one thing that he tweets, the land shark, and he's now the wide receivers coach at Ole Miss. Here's the thing about LaDainian Washington. He's got a perfectly acceptable resume to be a wide receiver coach in the SEC. But let's not act like, you know, this is the guy who's all of a sudden your receivers are all going to be Randy Moss because you brought this guy in. He's just a wide receivers coach. It's just the public way this has played out with since Bumpus left. Again, I think Lebby's plan originally was we'll address this afterwards, but it leaks out and you have to make a move. And so now this kind of is playing out in the public eye a little bit. You've been saying it, and you're correct. Like it doesn't matter how long it drags out. If they hire a guy and he's an upgrade, and the you recruit well and you get good play from your wide receivers, nobody cares.
Yeah, people are telling me that it's all about the optics. It's like, no, it's not. If Mississippi State hires a coach at that position that is a good recruiter, that is developing receivers, bringing really good players in here, and they're producing, are you going to come back a year from now and say, yeah, but we lost that guy to Ole Miss? Are you really going to do that? No, nobody's going to do that. Optics don't matter. The only thing that matters is in the end what the result is for Mississippi State here. And what your result needs to be, if you're Jeff Lebby, is you need to hire a competent coach that knows this offense, which I think has been the expectation from what I've been told during this process, is he wants to hire someone that is familiar with this offense, that is perhaps familiar with him and his staff and what he expects. And if you hire a guy that is producing in this offense and is getting you better results than what you've gotten, no one in this fan base is going to care about LaDainian Washington turning you down to go to Ole Miss. If you do, then you're focused on the wrong things. And like the crazy thing is, like about 4 days ago, no one knew LaDainian Washington existed in this
Couldn't
fan
pick him
base.
out of a lineup of
No
two.
one had a clue. That's how crazy this whole thing is. Like something gets thrown out on a message board, and we were reporting it too, by the way, and it was 100% true. Mississippi State was pursuing LaDainian Washington. They felt like, from everything I heard, they felt like they were in a good spot with him. They were going to get him. Ole Miss gets into the picture, and he ends up going to Ole Miss, whatever. But like the freak out came. I think you're right. Like I don't think the freak out was like you didn't get LaDainian Washington. I think it's just compounding all the things that have happened under Jeff Lebby. He's struggling to win games. There's been no indication that he's going to get rid of dead weight on the defensive side of the ball, which has been the worst part of your team for the last 2 years. He's not, right now we don't know if he's going to clean house on that side or not. And with that in mind, that's what's really frustrating people is you have coaching on the defensive side that's not getting recruits, that's not developing a lot of players, that's not coaching extremely well. You're just not getting better there. Those guys appear to be safe as we speak right now to the general public. And a guy that was a Mississippi State guy in their mind was let go wrongfully, which I don't believe that to be the case, but that's what the perception is within this fan base is Jeff Lebby just said, you're not getting the job done, you're out, while the other spots that are angering people are scot-free right now. That's the perception of it. And a lot of it is like Lebby just doesn't want any information out. Like he just wants to keep everything within house. He doesn't care whether or not you know about it. Actually, he does care whether you know about it. He doesn't want you to know about it until it actually happens. And it's just angering people because they feel like he's sitting on his hands and nothing's getting done. That's not the truth, but that's the perception of it from this fan base.
See, I mean, you look at what's happened thus far, right? With Arnett, Hutzler had to go. Because there was just no point in moving forward, right? He wasn't. You could keep Matt Barnes, let him call the defense for you, but you wanted to go ahead and get your defensive coordinator in here so he could see this month of practice, and so that he could get start his evaluations and start figuring that out. So Hutzler, your coordinator, had to go. The Bush Hamdan hire, he didn't replace anybody. His title is associate head coach of offense. State didn't have that position a year ago. Now, he may end up being the quarterback's coach, or he may even end up being the wide receiver's coach at some point. I don't know. But the position he was been hired for did not exist prior to him being hired. So that's not the same thing. Lebby wanted to get through this month and then worry about it. And that's what would have happened had this all not leaked out. And that just is what it is. But I understand it creates a perception of, well, he fired him but didn't have a plan to replace him. His plan to replace him was to take the next few weeks to find the right guy. And that's kind of where we are right now. So you're 100% correct when you say, at the end of the day, if they hire a guy who goes out and then in the, his recruiting class, he gets a couple of top receivers, and then Mississippi State once again puts together, two top 10 receivers like they did a year ago. Nobody cares what happened on December 15th. But at the same time, that has to happen. So
Well, I just think people are restless and they want the stuff to come out
and you've
and
got some people who are already out on Levy, and this is just another thing for them. So it is what it is.
all that matters is after January 2nd, does Mississippi State have all the pieces in place on that staff that's going to help them take the next step? That's the only thing that matters. Right now on December 15th, it just doesn't.
Correct.
And if you think they're just sitting around and not doing anything, you're clueless. I mean, that's not happening. Right now, they are moving and shaking behind the scenes and they're trying to get pieces in place. It's simply just not true that they're just sitting around twiddling their thumbs right now and they're not focused on this. So I know it's frustrating to people that you don't have a lot of answers with the staff for 2026. But it just is what it is right now. They're preparing for a bowl game. There's coaches on the staff that that will not be here next year, at least in their current roles, that they want to finish the job. They want to get done with their job. They want to finish this thing out with the team. Jeff Lebby wants them to do that. That was the expectation for Chad Bumpus as well. And it's just going to be after the bowl game for a lot of stuff. That's where things are right now.
That is where things are right now, and it's going to take time. It just is, as Robbie says. It's just going to be a process that, again, we weren't supposed to have this information that Chad Bumpus was out. Chad Bumpus is supposed to still be coaching right this second, knowing that his time at Mississippi State was probably limited. And who knows? He might have up and left at some point. I fully expect him to end up reconnecting with Dan Mullen at UNLV. From everything that I've been told. And that he might have wanted to go ahead and get in on that process. I don't know. But this wasn't supposed to come out, was it last Monday when it happened, something like that? It's been
Yeah,
about a
something like
week.
that.
It wasn't supposed to be this way. And the fact that it is isn't, anybody's fault, but it is what it is. And Lebby just has to, continue. But it doesn't matter that State doesn't have a wide receivers coach on December the 15th. If they get the right guy, it'll be fine. If they don't get the right guy, we'll criticize that. When we get to that bridge, we'll cross it. Simple as that.
Yep.
All right, let's move into this interview with Kendall Rogers. It's brought to you by our friends over at Two Brothers Smoke Meats in the heart of the Cotton District, the place to find the smoked Southern soul food that you are looking for. I know that you are looking for it. And if you're looking for a great stocking stuffer, a Two Brothers gift card is the way to go. If you've got a MSU student, if you've got anybody who lives here in Starkville, Two Brothers gift card is a great gift because you're giving the gift of smoked Southern soul food and a great place to grab lunch or dinner. Two Brothers Smoke Meats and the older brother in the Cotton District. Great products, great service. Every business likes to promise it to you. They deliver it to you at Advantage Business Systems. They've been doing it for over 50 years.
Over 50.
You need technology for your business? Give Advantage Business Systems a call. If you need service, guess what? Same people, same number. They know you know them. And because they're in Mississippi, chances are they can get out to fix your problems that exact same day. Everybody else is going to make you wait, maybe a week to 10 days. I've had a laptop go out and I made the phone call and they're like, all right, we'll have somebody out there, be there in about a week. And then I've got to deal, how do I continue to work without my laptop? I got to figure that out. You don't have to do that with Advantage Business Systems. 601-362-9192 or visit them online at absms.com. Find out how Advantage Business Systems will help your business do business. Maroon & Co. is the place to go. Are you looking for Mississippi State gear here in Starkville? Nobody has a bigger or better selection than our friends over at Maroon & Co. It's getting cold outside. They have a tremendous selection of hoodies, pullovers, sweatshirts, whatever it is you're looking for. They've got it at Maroon & Co. and, of course, on the website at maroonandco.com. Both places you can use our promo code THUNDER15 to save 15% off regular price. Some exclusions do apply. This holiday season, if you're looking for Mississippi State gear, the place to get it is Maroon & Co. Scruggs Farm Lawn and Garden in Saltillo. Are you looking to get some John Deere green this holiday season? Put that under the tree. I don't know exactly how you put a John Deere commercial mower under your tree. Maybe you got a big ass tree. I don't know, but you're probably just going to have to put it outside. But that being said, why don't we buy it at Scruggs? You check out their credit department, their financing department. They're going to hook you up with a great deal. Sometimes, if your credit's good enough, 0% financing for, let's say, 72 months, 84 months. It's very possible at Scruggs Farm Lawn and Garden. Everything you're looking for, it doesn't matter who you're shopping for, Scruggs Farm Lawn and Garden has the perfect Christmas gifts ready to go for you. Scruggs Farm Lawn and Garden in Saltillo, they have what you want for less. If you're a landowner in the state of Mississippi, Good Hope Land and Timber is the name to know. Couple hundred acres or a couple thousand acres. It doesn't matter what your situation is. Good Hope Land and Timber is here to help you make smart, sustainable decisions revolving around your land. And if you're looking to buy or sell land, they can help you with that purchase as well. Whatever it is you're looking to do with your land, Good Hope Land and Timber is there to help. Good Hope Land and Timber, locally trusted, landowner approved. All right, last week I caught up with D1 Baseball's Kendall Rogers. His first time on the podcast. Unbelievably. We've had so many great baseball guests on, but never had Kendall on. Great to finally catch up with him. And we talked about some SEC baseball. I can't help, Robbie, asking every baseball expert we talk to about Tony Vitello and the Giants. I got to know. That's just something personal for me. But we talked some SEC baseball, but more importantly, we got into Mississippi State. all interviews here on Thunder and Lightning, brought to you by our friends over at Alora Modern Wellness. You know, the holidays is a tough time. You know, you talk about recovery. You need that when you're talking to, you know, you go a little hard at the Christmas party, a little too much eggnog maybe, or, you know, you're just thinking about, hey, we've got a lot of sweet treats happening. You got to keep yourself in shape. Alora Modern Wellness can help you do that. They have everything you're looking for when it comes to recovery. However you want to make yourself feel better, they've got a plan in place to help you do that. Talk to my friend Rich Lopez today at 662-268-9255, or you can go to their website, aloramodernwellness.com. You can book everything right there on the website. aloramodernwellness.com brings you this interview with D1 Baseball's Kendall Rogers. You would think when your podcast is named Thunder and Lightning, you could get Kendall Rogers on for more often. But this is the first time we've had the man from D1 Baseball on with us, and I really appreciate his time. As we're recording this, we are 62 days away from the start of the college baseball season here in Starkville. Let's talk about the SEC first. And I hit up Brian O'Connor about this question a few weeks ago. Now I'm going to get you. You may not know this. I am a diehard San Francisco Giants fan. Been one my whole life.
Okay.
I want to know your thoughts on Vitello going to San Fran.
Yeah, I mean, first of all, I mean, it's historic. I mean, the fact that you have an SEC baseball coach take a major league job and take a job like the Giants, you know, to go from Knoxville, Tennessee to San Francisco in the Bay Area is quite a change. And so I think over the last few years, I think we've all kind of waited for this to happen. Tony just happened to be the right guy in the right situation at the right time. I do wonder, I was talking to somebody about this right after it happened, but I do wonder if you go back and look at Pat Murphy's success with the Brewers, if this had a little bit of something to do with it. And granted, Pat's a little different because he was with the Padres for a bit.
Right.
You know, he was on the bench with you know, counsel before he got the managerial job. But still, it's a former college coach who clearly, once he got to the professional ranks, knew kind of the switches to flip to be a successful manager. So I think kind of looking back at that, I think that helped Tony a little bit, because I would consider those two guys very similar personality wise, like both firebrands, but they're going to fight for their players and their players love them. And so I think it's neat. I get that Tennessee fans are probably a little pissed that he went and got Q, their strength coach, and took Frank Anderson with him. But I mean, if you're Tennessee, like you cannot be mad at Tony Vitello with what he did to that program. He won a national championship. He took a Tennessee program that I remember watching State play them one year on TV. I think this might even be back when they were on like Jefferson Pilot or Comcast Sports, and like State's playing there. State's like top 10 at the time, but I mean, there's literally like 400 people at the game.
Yeah.
Now it's like the hottest ticket in town. Now they're building a $100 million stadium. So what he's done for them, like they could never repay him for what he did. So I think it's pretty cool.
So what happens to Tennessee now?
We'll find out. I mean, yeah. I will say this, and granted, I don't want to lump Josh Elander in the same boat as Mike Early, because it's a different situation. Like Josh has been a recruiting coordinator in the SEC. He's been a top assistant in the SEC for a while. But, you know, as we saw last year with A&M, like you can be the most talented team in the country, but when you have a first-year head coach, you just never know. But I will say this, you know, our Joe Healy had a really good interview with Josh on the site the other day. And I thought his answers, his knowledge of the hard-hitting questions and what, you know, he would need to do in certain situations kind of made me go away from the interview thinking, okay, like this guy knows what he's doing. So I think the biggest thing with Tennessee is I think if they can kind of weather the storm this year and he can get his feet wet and they can experience some success, I think they'll be just fine. But now, I mean, they're spending so much money on baseball, they don't have a choice but to go all in on baseball. Like if you're spending $100 million plus, you know, with rev share and all this NIL, like they're going to make sure you win, or at least they're going to try their hardest.
In the SEC this year, I think we've got a lot. I mean, no surprise, right? There's a lot of great teams. Who are the, in just in whatever order you want to give them, who are your top four teams in the conference coming into the season?
Oh boy. I would have to go with Mississippi State is one of mine.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think as you break this team down, You know, you look at the top two spots in the rotation. We can, well, I'm sure we'll talk about that in a minute. Mm-hmm. But you know, you look at the resurgence of a, you know, a guy like Charlie Foster and whatnot. Like, I feel good about the pitching. I really like the offensive lineup. Obviously, some transfer flavor there. But Mississippi State would be in the mix for me. Texas would be in the mix for me. You know, they have another really, really deep and talented pitching staff. LSU would be in that mix for me. I know it's hard to kind of repeat as national champs, but I mean, when you've got, you know, Cason Evans and, you know, guys like that, and you've got Derek Curiel offensively, like, they're going to be really good. And like Jay is like a master of like turning the page. Mm-hmm. Like, Jay's not satisfied till he has like 40 national championships. So I don't worry about that kind of hangover with them. Mm-hmm. I think for me, that fourth spot is interesting. Like, I kind of like Vanderbilt. I like A&M. I think A&M is going to be way better this year. I think they're healthier, which will matter. I mean, people kind of forget with that team last year. Mm-hmm. You know, they didn't have Gavin Grohover for the whole year. Caden Sorrell was hurt half the year, and their closer was hurt for 90% of the year. All three of those guys are back and healthy. I like A&M. And then Florida. I mean, honestly, hey, Dad, like, Florida probably has the most talented team in the SEC. But when your coach is out for 2 months and there's obviously a lot of volatility there, I don't know how to handicap Florida. Like, do they rally around Sully? And, like, does he, you know, coach his heart out because he has something to prove? I mean, if that happens, I mean, watch out. But that's a big question mark for me. Florida would be in that mix too.
We would be remiss on a Mississippi State podcast to not ask about our in-state rivals. What do you think about the Rebels this year?
Yeah, I think they're going to be good. How good, I guess, is the question. I don't feel like their ceiling is quite as high as Mississippi State. But, I mean, I like that some of the pieces they have from an offensive standpoint, particularly power-wise. And I love getting Hunter Elliott back. I mean, you know, I get it. People look at him over the last year and go, oh, the stuff's ticked down just a hair after the injury. But he was still effective. He was still good. And you're talking about a guy who, I mean, has pitched in a national championship game.
Yeah.
Or series. A winner, hard nose, has pitched just an outrageous number of innings now in college baseball. I mean, you like, a coach would love to have that. So I like that piece for the Rebs.
All right, let's talk about the Bulldogs now. And yeah. And the hiring of Brian O'Connor, to me, from a football perspective, is very similar, and maybe I'm off on this, to when Alabama hired Nick Saban. That he was clearly the best coach available. He had the national championship. He had turned LSU into a power. And I think O'Connor, there's some similarities there. And when you talk to O'Connor, the organization, the way he runs his program is similar to what you've heard from Saban and his process through the years. How far down the list of great coaches in this sport do you go before you get to Brian O'Connor?
He would be my top couple for sure. Yeah. It's kind of funny to think back at the hiring of Brian O'Connor. I still remember, you know, I won't name names, but I still remember somebody from state reached out to me right when they were searching for a new head coach. And I've got an awesome relationship with Coach O'Connor. Like, I've known him forever. I would consider him a really good friend of mine. Mm-hmm. You know, they asked me, like, hey, do you think that Brian O'Connor would have interest in Mississippi State? And I was like, I don't think, like, I know he would. And they were like, really? Like, you think so? And I go, yeah. So, obviously, State shot their shot, and he accepted. And obviously, people are going to look at the salary and go, well, of course he went there. Like, they're paying him that much money. But this is a guy that was super loyal to Virginia. Let's not forget, you know, Brian O'Connor has had opportunities to go to LSU. And not when Jay was hired, but during the previous, you know, situations. He's had a chance to go to LSU. He's had a chance to go to a place like Texas. And you know, he's had a chance to go to A&M now, what, twice? Mm-hmm. It hasn't happened. And so this guy has had opportunities at big-time jobs. And it was this one that he was attracted to the most and felt like, you know what, like I'm ready to make a move. And I think for me, I go back to – the welcoming ceremony that I watched that he was a part of, that, you know, the ballpark, you know, I don't think it was quite full, but I mean, it was pretty close. Mm. And just the fanfare around that. I will say this, when Brian O'Connor took that job, I was like, it's kind of a different fit. You know, I'm not sure it's the best fit I've ever seen, but it's a fit that after you watch that ceremony, it was like, okay, this is going to work because he was all in. Like, and I feel like MSU is a little bit like that. I feel like you're either all in or all out. And he was all in. So I think what you're going to see in Brian is an outstanding coach. I think you've already seen that he's awesome with media, awesome with fans, and he's also one of those guys that on the recruiting trail, and we're seeing it with the level classes they're bringing in, that he's one of those guys that can sell a ketchup popsicle to somebody with white gloves. Like that's just kind of the way he is. And so I'm a huge Brian O'Connor fan, and obviously it looks like he's going to do some pretty big things there.
So we do a weekly mailbag kind of podcast, and one of the questions was, could you split state's roster in half and get two top 25 teams? And I said, I don't think so from a pitching perspective. They have depth, but they don't have that much depth. But when you talk about the lineup, I almost think you could field two, at least two SEC caliber teams based off of what state has on the roster. Is this one of the I won't ask if it's the deepest, but is it one of the deepest lineups in the country?
Yeah, I mean it's going to be one of the deepest. I mean the last projected lineup that I had from the coaching staff, had guys like Stallman and Drew Weyers on the bench. Well, if you go look at Drew Weyers, like he was the player of the year last year in the AM East. So that gives you an idea of how good he is. And so yeah, I mean this lineup's going to be incredibly deep. I mean I think there's some guys that I feel like are going to take a pretty big step forward, like James Nunnally, for instance. If you look back at last year at Virginia, hit just a hair below 300 as a freshman. But I mean I think that guy's a lot more in the tank. The one I love that they got back for another season is just Noah Sullivan, just having that kind of power in the lineup. Even if the guy, and granted, he hit 345 last year, but I mean, even if he hits 290, if he can hit 16, 17, 18 homers, I mean, that's a scary piece to have in the lineup when you have, Aiden Teal and, Ace Reese. Be remiss if we don't mention the best player on the team, and Ace Reese. So yeah, I mean, this lineup has a chance to be extremely special.
You said best player on the team with Reese. How close is he to being the best player in the SEC?
I think the biggest thing with Ace for me is just how he continues to develop defensively. If he, my comp on him, just in terms of just, I wouldn't even call him iffy. Like, I don't want to disrespect the guy, but I mean, I think we would all agree there's some improvements to be made defensively. He kind of reminds me of Jacob Berry at LSU a few years ago. Remember him? He transferred in from Arizona. He was one of the best hitters in college baseball. He went to LSU early on in his career when he's at third base. It was a little bit of a mystery, but as he got more and more and more reps, he ended up being a pretty decent third baseman. And I kind of feel like Ace is going to be on that same trajectory. But at any rate, I mean, he's going to be your premier hitter, and frankly, what he can give you positionally is icing on the cake.
You got two guys on this roster that I thought would be in the minors right now, in Jacob Parker and in Jack Bauer. We'll get to Bauer in a second, but Jacob Parker, we all knew his brother was going to be a top 10 pick, but we thought he could be anywhere late first round to middle of the second, third round kind of situation. He ends up here at Mississippi State. I talked to another guy a few weeks ago, and he's like, "This is just not a guy that you he doesn't come to college to sit on the bench," is how he described it. What kind of impact can he have as a true freshman?
I mean, I think any guy with his kind of tools, and I mean, frankly, the physical nature, I haven't seen him in person quite yet, but I mean, you're talking about a guy who, 6'2", 6'3", 220, like it's almost like he should be playing linebacker for the football team to some degree. But,
They
I
could
think
use
any guy
those.
with do what?
They could use a guy like that over there
Yeah,
right now.
there we go, Jacob. That's just an offer right now to go play football. Brian O'Connor probably would not like that.
No.
But I think anybody with his skill set and his tools, I mean, have a chance to make an impact. But again, you talk about, looking at his position. I mean, you talk about the options out there: Nunnally, Teal, Bryce Chance. Not going to be easy. Reed Stallman, not going to be easy to crack that lineup. But I do have a feeling. I have a lot of faith in Aiden Teal, for one. But I would not be shocked if a guy like Parker kind of fits in the equation somewhere, early on, playing for maybe Chance in a game or two, playing for Nunnally in a game or two, and just kind of see how he develops.
And then on the pitching side of things, let's talk about Bauer. A left-hander that throws 100 usually does not make it to campus. That's a luxury that most college baseball programs will never get. You worry about a guy like that because in this day and age, it feels like everybody's going to have a Tommy John at some point. But what can he do in year one with the way he throws?
Well, you know, we talked about the lineup and how deep the state is. How about this? I mean, Mississippi State's coaching staff, just kind of looking at our survey that we sent out a couple weeks ago, you know, they ranked their top seven pitchers in terms of roles, and Jack Bauer's not on there. I mean, just kind of get it's not saying that Bauer won't have an impact. It's just saying, like, right now he won't be a starter, he won't be a top one or two reliever, and he won't be the closer, who would be Ben Davis. So it just gives you an idea how deep this team is. But
You just
I
broke
think
some
he's one of
news
those.
there. You just
Say that
broke some news.
again.
I was not aware that Ben Davis was in the lineup to be the closer.
That's what he's listed as.
Wow. Okay. Go ahead.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I think with a guy like Bauer, I think this is a really good team for him to be on, because obviously, as hard as he throws, there's going to be some mechanical things and whatnot that you know, Justin's going to have to work on with him. And I think in a staff like this, where, you know, if Jack Bauer goes out there and struggles in an outing, like, it's not like a huge setback for the team, right? He struggles, you can go throw in some other guys like, you know, Pitzer, Burns, Davis, et cetera, and they're out of the jam. And so I think it's a perfect situation for a very high upside arm who, you know, I wouldn't say he's not seasoned, but who maybe doesn't know what it's like to pitch in the SEC on a Saturday afternoon when you're trying to clinch a series situation. So I think it's a perfect situation for him.
What do you think about State on Friday night? Is that Valinkas from Virginia? Is that going to be Ryan McPherson? I know they have some options there. Who do you think it ends up being?
Yeah, it'll be McPherson or Valinkas for sure. And I don't know, is O'Connor saying Valinkas? Because I always said Valencius, and I never was told I
Man,
was
I know.
wrong. Apparently,
When I
so the
meet
best
him,
part,
I'll ask
so
him. You know,
well, you
that's
know
what I do.
what? The best part, you could tell him I said this, but the best part is his brother, in like one of his videos at Illinois, said Valinkas. Well, you know, Tomas or Thomas or whatever said Valencius last year at one of the tournaments I was at in Round Rock. So I don't
My
know.
last name is Haydad, man. I'm used to weird last
Exactly.
names.
Just a you know, just a traditional Mississippi name.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well,
All right. So,
no, I was gonna say, yeah, McPherson or Valencius, for sure. I mean, I'll talk about Valencius just because State fans know about McPherson, who's obviously a big arm, but I saw Valencia's, you know, quite a bit last year. Really like him. He's hard nosed. He's going to come at you 95, 96 with a fastball. It is premier stuff. So, I mean, I tell you what, if you can have him on a Saturday, man, you're in really good shape.
All right, let's wrap it up with this. It's baseball, you know. As the guy whose statue is in behind the stadium, Ron Polk said it. That's baseball. You can always lose. You know, it doesn't matter who you're playing. Can you caution Mississippi State fans or something on terms of expectations here? It feels like in my time covering baseball, this is the most preseason hype I can ever remember. And even going back to being a kid, I don't remember a team that had this much preseason hype around it. And I feel like fans, if they don't win the national title, might be disappointed. I think this can be an Omaha team, but as long as they're in the chase for that, this was a successful season, right?
For sure. I mean, I would have Omaha as the expectation with this team. You know, again, I kind of go up and in the lineup, I look at the options on the mound. You know, it's kind of funny, like, I'm sitting here just diving in more on some of these notes that OC had. And, like, you know, they mentioned Duke Stone as their breakout pitcher and one of their fall MVPs, and he's going to be the weekend guy or the midweek starter. So, I mean, it just gives you an idea how talented this team is. But there's always a transition in year one with a new head coach. The good news is you've got, you know, two coaches in Mac and OC that have won a national championship. They know a little something something about what it takes to get to Omaha. So I would say Omaha's expectation. And I mean, I'll even tell LSU fans this, I'll always refuse to be like, they need to win the national championship, because once you get to Omaha, it really is just, I mean, it's who's playing well and like what bracket you're in. I mean, that could be the difference between winning the whole thing and, you know, just being in the tournament.
I think Mississippi State fans would tell you the 21 team was not the best Mississippi State baseball team of all
Oh
time,
no.
but they won the national title, and it's getting hot at the
Yeah,
right
I mean,
moment.
Will Bednar, I mean, that was like, you know, what he did that year was insane.
So we shall see. Kendall, appreciate your time, man. Thanks for coming on, and we'll
Yeah,
definitely
brother,
get you
let's do it
back on
again. I'd love
anytime,
to.
man.
Thanks,
Kendall
Brian.
Robinson, D1 baseball. Let's talk some baseball because we don't want to talk about basketball here at Mississippi State. All right, as always, thanks to Kendall. Appreciate his time. Yeah, he's big on the Bulldogs. I mean, I just think he didn't want to come out and be like, yes, this is this is my pick to win the national title, but I get the feeling next month or so when those things start popping up, his, you know, his 2026 previews, it's going to be a short list of teams in front of the Bulldogs, if any.
Yeah, well, I mean, the big question is, like, how does a new coaching staff mesh with this roster? There's a lot of new faces. Like, it's not – like, there's not a whole lot of continuity with it at Mississippi State. But the key to it is you have continuity with the Virginia players with the staff, and then you have the Mississippi State players that have come back that kind of know the expectations here and all that meshing together. I don't want to say this is like a can't miss team, because I feel like you can always miss. It would be really hard to see this team not being a national seed. I think I said that the other day. Like, this, it would be really difficult for this team not to reach the expectations of being a top eight team nationally by the time the season's over with. If it is, that's a disappointing season in year one for Brian O'Connor. But the way this staff operates, the talent that they picked up out of the portal, the high school guys they brought in, meshing with the guys that they already have here that were key guys that returned, because you look at the players that returned, Noah Sullivan, Bryce Chance, Ace Reese, Gary Fry.
Yeah.
Those guys are, as far as a leadership standpoint, that's as good as it gets. Mm-hmm. Like, just solid guys, great teammates. They don't really get, as Tanner Allen would say, they don't get too high or too low.
Yeah.
That's the right people. And then you add in an Aiden Teal, guys like that that come over from Virginia that have that same kind of mindset. I mean, you talk to that guy, it sounds like he's a pro already.
Mm. Yeah.
So from a talent perspective, a leadership perspective, a coaching perspective, this team has everything that you want.
Yeah.
When you're building a roster that can compete for a national championship, you know, we're not looking at this team and finding a lot of flaws.
No.
So they might expose themselves in the middle of the season, but just preseason looking at them, I'm trying to temper my expectations for them a little bit, just so you don't get your hopes up. But they have the makings of being a national title contender. There is no doubt about it. And I think hearing Kendall say it just further cements it. I think, you know, we can look at it and we can try to be as objective as we want to, but we have a magnifying glass on this team.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, whether or not we can pull, like, the fan perspective off, you still are focusing more on this team than you are anybody else. And having a guy like Kendall, who follows college baseball as closely as he does, come out and say, you know, I think this team can be in Omaha,
mm-hmm.
that just reaffirms our thoughts on them.
Dare we call it the sign?
Could be.
Perhaps we should, and that would be, of course, brought to you by our friends at Pip Printing and Signs. I spoke to Cam Baker today. Speaking of signs, he's going to give us one.
The basketball sign?
I'm going to actually have the basketball sign, so we'll have it when we need it. So I appreciate Cam doing that. And if you need signage, in or out of your building, if you need any kind of mailers or printouts, anything for your business, call Cam Baker today at Pip Printing and Signs and put 30 years of experience to work for you. Doesn't matter what you're looking for to tell the story of your business, Cam Baker and the good folks at Pip Printing and Science can help get happen for you. 601-499-5216. As I've said many times before, that is actually his number, and you are not dealing with anybody but the top dog at Pip Printing and Signs. That's how you know their commitment to customer service. 601-499-5216. When you need printing, call Pip today. All right, tomorrow's show is the Rumblings. Get the questions in. We'll be happy to answer them. We're going to let Future Brian have another night off. He's been on a good streak of not recapping these games, and they're working out for Mississippi State. Let's just keep that going, and we'll see where it takes us for Mississippi State tomorrow night versus Long Island. Oh, Long Island, ah!
With a special appearance coming from MJF.
The most magical place in the world. If State wins, we should tweet at MJF, be like, yeah, suck on that. See how it goes. All right, guys. Talk to you tomorrow. For Robbie Falk, I'm Brian Haydad. Thanks for listening to Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.